You are my son, the beloved. With you, I am well pleased. Amen. Good morning. Blessed and holy Lent to you all. So how many of you made the choice this year to fast from some behavior or indulgence for Lent? How many? Okay. Well, here we are, 4 full days into our Lenten journey, and I'm curious, anyone out there already been tempted to stop your fasting? That's okay. That's okay, because actually, this is one of the points of a Lenten practice. When we fast, we learn what we need. What we need around us to foster self-discipline, what we need to feel encouraged, what will motivate us to change behaviors or to follow through with a commitment. This is what we hope to learn through fasting. What are the conditions we need in order to behave in ways that please God? Does anyone remember the scientist Ivan Pavlov? He was from Russia. He was awarded the Nobel Prize for his research in the early 1900s. Pavlov's research began as a study of digestion, but concluded with theories about human behavior. Most of Pavlov's work involved experiments testing temperament, conditioning, involuntary reflex actions. Pavlov was curious about why it is animals behave the way they do. Pavlov used terms like neutral stimuli, unconditional stimuli, conditioned response, fear response, delayed response. Pavlov conducted a wide array of research where a subject was placed under manipulated conditions in order to see if the scientist could predict the subject's behavior or response, and then to see if the scientist could control the subject's response by controlling the conditions that the subject, well, was subjected to. So anyway, these experiments led to theories about human behavior. What motivates us to behave in certain ways? Essentially, why do we do what we do? In our gospel today, Mark has one short paragraph that contains 3 crucial moments in Jesus' life. Jesus is baptized. Jesus is tempted by Satan. Jesus' cousin and partner in ministry, John, is arrested and they are separated. After all that happens, Jesus goes out into the world and begins his ministry of healing and proclaiming good news to the poor. This is easily enough drama to fill 3 seasons of Netflix series, but Mark tells us all of that in exactly 130 words. 130 words seems sufficient to Mark, but for me, I am left feeling more curious about what Mark doesn't tell us. Why? Why did Jesus behave the way he behaved? Why did he choose to begin his ministry at that precise moment? What conditions in this story we read today influenced Jesus? What inspired him to choose to leave everything behind, to accept his call, to go and preach and teach and heal? Now, everyone alive has moments where we are faced with making big decisions, moments where it feels like we are standing at a fork in the road. And depending on the way we turn, our lives might be changed forever. In this short passage in Mark, this is that moment for Jesus. After his baptism, time in the wilderness, and after his closest companion, John, is arrested, Jesus could have hidden in a cave in the desert. Jesus could have gone home and kept working as a carpenter. Or Jesus could have left the region entirely, washed his hands of the whole thing, ignoring Rome and all of the suffering citizens. I mean, he could have. That would have made sense to me, actually, given the conditions Jesus found himself in. There was not a lot of hope for change or that Rome would stop oppressing people. Jesus wasn't well-funded. He didn't have a lot of fans or support. And he had just lost his best friend, the only guy that really understood him and his message. I mean, he could have just gone home. But Jesus didn't. He didn't do that. Jesus didn't hide or run away. Jesus did the opposite of that. After John is arrested, Jesus goes out and says, "Repent and believe." In this moment, under exactly these conditions, Jesus commits to sharing the good news with everyone he meets for the rest of his life. Jesus fully commits himself to his work right here in chapter 9 of Mark in 130 words. But why? What were the conditions that led Jesus to behave in the way he did? When Jesus is baptized, he hears these words from the Spirit. "This is my Son, the Beloved. With him I am well pleased." As little children, sometimes we do things just to please our parents, like eat Brussels sprouts, or maybe play violin or football. I mean, maybe in our hearts of hearts, we didn't really feel called to play the tuba in the marching band. But the look in our mother's eyes when the band played at halftime, that was really all we needed to keep marching away. And I think there is something really sweet about that response to please our parents. It's what Pavlov might have called classical conditioning. We eat Brussels sprouts, or we play the tuba, and our parents praise us. And then guess what? We are more likely to eat more Brussels sprouts or to march with our tuba. But this story that we hear in our gospel today, it's different. Because at the baptism of Jesus, God praises Jesus before he has done anything important or noteworthy. At the time of Jesus' baptism, he has not done any healing miracles. He has not turned water into wine. He has not raised Lazarus. He hasn't walked on water. He was just a guy seeking God and community in the desert. We are only two short chapters into Mark's gospel, verse 9, when God tells Jesus that God is well pleased with him. What exactly was God so pleased with? And why, if God was already so pleased with Jesus without any conditions, making no demands, no critique, why if God asks nothing of Jesus? Does Jesus then go on to give his whole life to healing others? Friends, doing good to please others is not entirely bad. It's just not sustainable. Because humans are fickle and their approval can't really be trusted to remain a consistent condition in our lives, not even our earthly parents. That's just a fact. But in the story today, we see a human being who encounters the love of God and begins from that place of knowing he is loved. choosing to be grounded in that love, Jesus is then able to resist all of the temptations of the 40 days in the wilderness. From that place of unconditional love, he is able to suffer the great loss of his friend. And then again, from that place of being loved, he fully claims who he is, and he goes out into the world to teach and to heal people in his community. Jesus doesn't do any of this to please God. He does it because he has already accepted God is pleased. Jesus believes God already loves him. All of that happens in 130 words in the Gospel of Mark. In 130 words, we learn this simple truth: God requires nothing of us for us to be loved. And when we are grounded in our being loved, we have everything we need to meet the challenges and to make choices about our behaviors, our own responses. Friends, the most profound condition we can create in our lives in order to live our best lives is to know, to accept, to receive the truth that we too are unconditionally loved. As Mary Oliver says, you do not have to be good. You do not have to walk on your knees 100 miles through the desert repenting. You just have to love what you love. Love is free. Love is available to all of us, no matter who we are or what we have done. And it is through really receiving that love that we will have the one condition we need in our lives to be more loving and to act more justly. That is the paradox and the invitation of being children of God. When we begin from a place of knowing we are loved, we too will know who we are and be brave enough to be it in the world. Jesus went out and shared the good news and said, believe, believe. And this, my friends, is the good news. You are already loved, just as you are. So maybe you will keep your Lenten fast, or maybe you won't. Either way, when love is the core condition of our lives, and when we really, really believe that that is true, and when we come to God just as we are, that is what pleases God. Amen.